Following episode of K-Voice was recorded at 2:14 p.m. August 18th, 2017. Things may have changed by the time you listen to this show. Enjoy the show.
We normally start off the broadcast saying good evening, but tonight there doesn't seem to be much that is good about this evening, because a few hours ago, the President of the United States revealed so clearly who and what he really is. Today, the President of the United States ripped open wounds that have barely begun healing in Charlottesville on a subject, race, that has tormented this country from the very beginning and nearly torn it apart more than once. He ripped open these wounds so he could show the world that he did not make a mistake on Saturday when he spoke words that were ill-considered, untrue, and insensitive. In the remarks he made today, the President revealed what he truly thinks about race in America. He revealed what he thinks about fundamental fairness, about a president's role in binding up the nation's wounds and appealing to the better angels of our nature, to quote another former president. He revealed about whether he can ever be a president for all people or just for white ones, a president for people of all beliefs or just the alt-right. Today, President Trump showed the world exactly how little he knows or cares about U.S. history. He showed the world how much a mother's loss matters to him when weighed against whether or not she praised him. He showed the world how far he'll go to avoid admitting he's ever made.
Hello. Thank you for listening to K Voice of Resistance. That's the letter K, Voice of Resistance. I'm Kelly the Voice. Welcome to the Resistance in Trump Country episode. But first, this episode, you may have noticed, was recorded on August 18th. It's my birthday. But besides that, I recorded it on August 18th because I'm on a road trip up to Idaho to see the total eclipse of the sun. I suppose after this goes up, by the time you guys are hearing it, it'll be after the eclipse, so I'll just say, wow, wasn't that a once-in-a-lifetime amazing experience? Recording from the past and knowing that this will be heard in 4 days is amusing, bemusing, gives me anxiety.
Like, we start the day going, I can't believe what Trump did yesterday, and then by the end of it, it's more like, I can't remember what Trump did yesterday. That was so long ago.
There are so many possibilities of things that may have unfolded in the next 4 days. Every day is like the teacups with a loose wheel on acid in the country right now. Things feel out of control, I'll probably get sick, and see things that simply don't make sense to me, but one thing's for sure, it will be a wild ride. We are experiencing a crisis of thought right now in the United States, and maybe in the world. Here is your personal astrophysicist, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I'm worried, really, about how much the fuzzy thinking is going on in the world. Fuzzy thinking, people just not thinking straight. Consider this following example. Imagine you have a spelling bee. This is contrived, but it makes the point. There's a spelling bee, and you have to spell the word cat. Okay. So one student spells it C-A-T. Person got it right. The next person spells it K-A-T. That's wrong. You got that wrong. Okay. Third person spells it X-Q-W. You realize that is marked equally as wrong with the K-A-T? When you could argue that K-A-T is a better spelling for cat than C-A-T. Dictionaries know this because that's how they spell it phonetically. And so we've built a system for ourselves where there's an answer and everything else is not the answer, even when some answers are better than others. So our brains are absent the wiring capable of coming up with an original thought.
That man is an American hero, if you ask me. Well, let's get to some news. We have some good news. Last Thursday in federal court, a 3-judge panel in San Antonio, Texas, ruled that 2 Texas congressional districts around Corpus Christi and Austin were radically gerrymandered. You know, because Republicans are cheaters. District's boundaries must be redrawn immediately, One of the districts is represented by a Republican and one by a Democrat. So both parties may be affected by this redistricting. Racial gerrymandering, the organization of voting districts to dilute or disadvantage the votes of racial minorities, is illegal under the Voting Rights Act. The Texas Tribune reports that the state defended the districting, arguing that the intention was to gerrymander along party lines, not according to race. But race often coincides with party affiliation, so the court ruled that they had managed to accomplish both. Following the events in Charlottesville, Virginia, Airbnb announced that white supremacists would be permanently banned from using the site to book lodging reservations. This is the upside of capitalism. See, white supremacist Nazis are deplorable by choice. It is a choice, so I'm totally cool with this kind of banning people from a business. Sexuality is not a choice, therefore I'm sorry, Baker, you have to make the damn cake. But there are still some thought-provoking questions here. Now let's consider that the right-leaning outlets like National Review, which have headlines running that read, "The Women's March and Black Lives Matter Embrace Terrorist." Suppose Airbnb was ran by those organizations. Should they be allowed to ban BLM protesters or booking rentals? My argument is no, because hate is hate, threatening violence is threatening violence, and they're all a fact. Making up conspiracy theories out of thin air about Black Lives Matter and the Women's March, that's a different story. There's also the slippery slope argument. What would happen if all hotel chains banned white supremacists? Expand that to grocery stores. A grocery store would be within its legal right to ban a white supremacist. But what if that was the only place they had to go get food in their town? I say, too bad.
Call to action.
Call to action.
Call to actions.
Calls to actions.
Call to action.
All right, we have a call to action. Protect voting rights with 2020 census funding. The information gathered during the 2020 census will be used to inform state redistricting efforts, allocate seats within the House of Representatives, and provide demographic information to inform policy decisions at all levels of government. However, the House and Senate Appropriations Committees have not provided sufficient funds to adequately prepare for the 2020 census. An accurate census count is essential to ensure traditionally undercounted groups like Latinx, Black, low-income, and non-English-speaking households are adequately documented. The Census Bureau reported missing 2.1% of Black Americans and 1.5% of Latinx Americans in its 2010 count, while overcounting non-Latinx Americans by 0.84%. Interesting that, isn't it? Without robust and accurate data, the 2020 census could be used to weaken the voter power of voters of color via partisan gerrymandering and systematically underfund jurisdictions with larger proportions of non-white residents. A well-supported and well-funded 2020 census is critical to the integrity of our democracy. The 2018 Commerce, Justice, and Science Appropriation Bills, H.R. 3267, and S-1662 have passed both House and Senate committees with insufficient funding levels for the Census Bureau. We're talking $300 million below the requested amount. They now go into full chambers for further debate and votes. Call your House member. This is very important. It's very important for the left, and it's very important for minorities. We need this. Call them directly, or call the switchboard at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. When you call, introduce yourself and say where you are from. And then you can say, "I'm calling today because I'm very concerned about the lack of adequate funding for the 2020 Census Bureau. I ask that Representative Whatcher-Morother work to pass the 2018 spending bill that gives the Bureau its requested funding level so it can ensure a fair and accurate 2020 census. Thank you for your time and attention." If you end up leaving a voicemail, please leave your full street address to ensure your call is tallied.
You win!
There's a meme that's been going around that I just love. nice people made the best Nazis. My mom grew up next to them. They got along, refused to make waves, looked the other way when things got ugly, and focused on happier things than politics. They were lovely people who turned their heads as their neighbors were dragged away. You know who weren't nice people? Resistors. And resistors are everywhere. The resistance is everywhere, isn't it? At least, that's what I comfort myself with. The idea that it is everywhere. Sometimes I'm not sure if I'm simply seeing things I want to see. After all, I live in a liberal area in California. Truth is, I don't know what's going on in the rest of America. I don't know what it's like right now, nor have I ever. I've lived here my whole life. South Dakota went 61% plus in all but five of South Dakota's 66 counties for the Manhattan mogul's clever, if misrepresentative, anti-urban, crying for the beleaguered, forgotten rural America. Could an anti-Trump movement get traction in the rural Midwest? Well, of course it can, and of course it has. Results of a Washington Post Kaiser Family Foundation poll suggest that President Pudgy McTrumpcake has long been on shaky grounds in rural America. Rural respondents to the April poll were as likely to strongly disapprove of Donald as they were to approve, 30% each. When broken down by gender, rural women reported a slightly higher disapproval than rural men. Washington Post reports that not long after the election, resistance leader Susan Kroger decided to help launch a political activism group for women called Lead South Dakota, an abbreviation for Leaders Engaged and Determined. In her largely rural, pro-Trump Sioux Falls, South Dakota, she expected a few dozen liberal neighbors to show up. Get this, when she opened the doors at the group's first community meeting, 100 people flooded into the room. 9 months later, she says the group has quickly grown to 2,300 active members, incredible by any standard. What's more, she said, quote, "The exciting thing about our events is that every time we hold one, I always ask who here is new, and about half the people raise their hand. I've heard a few women who voted for Trump and have since had a change of heart." And she is not alone. Another woman, Kelly Sullivan, organized a women's march attracting nearly 3,300 demonstrators to downtown Sioux Falls in 30-degree temperatures. Sullivan said the experience of seeing a sea of like-minded people transformed her from a person who never dreamed of being politically active to someone who uses her spare time to call lawmakers. She is also preparing for her own run for a state legislative seat next year. Lead South Dakota has a 9-person board of directors and committees tasked with monitoring state legislative activity, candidate recruitment, and other efforts. So far, the group is working with 75 candidates who are interested in running for office, and it's planning to break into chapters across the state to help manage rapid growth. 75 candidates! Yes, the right is rising in a terrifying way, but so is the activist left, and if I may say so, rather heroically. It is one thing for me to take a stand in these times in California, but to do so in a red state takes courage. Refreshingly, Sullivan does not seem to take an us-versus-them stance on the city dwellers versus rural inhabitants. Quote, "People like us in smaller places and people that are in rural communities, we're just the same as big city slickers. The feeling that we're not being represented or the feeling that the current administration is doing things that we disagree with. We're on the same page as the people who are in the big cities." Unquote. Isn't this refreshing? Of course, people in the city feel as though they're not being represented either. The, quote, "forgotten American" is not unique to rural America or the inner cities. The more special interests have hijacked our government with money and undue influence, the more Americans across the nation have been left behind and forgotten. Rural America complains about not having jobs. But what they're really complaining about is not having jobs that pay anything that you can raise a family off of. They complain that all that is left is Walmart jobs and McDonald's jobs and minimum wage jobs. It's no different in the city. You're getting paid minimum wage. If you get paid above rural minimum wage, it's because your expenses are higher because you live in the city. We're a lot more alike than the loudest voices in the room. Alabama has the Kudzu Coalition of West Alabama. The group uses the name of the kudzu plant, an invasive species common in the South that is resistant to most herbicides. A rather appropriate moniker in a state where nearly 63% of voters backed Sir Sissy Pants. Their leader, Mandy Fowler, says, quote, "We grow fast, and we connect, and we flourish in an area where it can be difficult for others to thrive. We are hard to get rid of," unquote. Damn right. The WaPo article says, "The group spun off from a closed group Facebook page that connected Alabamians who wanted to discuss their dissatisfaction with the election. Keisha Emanuel, a graduate student at Tuscaloosa, who began following the page soon after the election," she's an active member of the Kudzu Coalition now, said, quote, "Especially in a red state, it can make things uncomfortable to be at work, school, and places like that where people are more Republican," unquote. I bet. "Small town and rural mobilizing will probably yield results," said James Simmons, a professor at the University of Wisconsin in Oshkosh, who recently researched voter trends and attitudes in rural areas. Quote, "If you look across the county and you look at the real change that has happened over the past 5 or 20 years, it hasn't happened at all in the national level. You see policy driven at the state level. If you're talking about populist discontent, this is where it's bubbling." Unquote. Of course, there is a thriving rural resistance. The resistance is everywhere. I'm going to replay a story that I did back in June, partially because it goes with the theme of the show, which is resistance in Trump country, and partly just because the story makes me happy. Enjoy. Here's a story. West Virginia, deep in the heart of Trumpistan, on the day after the election, Buchanan Upshire Middle School kids are in the hallways chanting, "Build a wall." And some 7th grade students said that people who voted for Hillary Clinton should be taken out in the yard and shot. Buchanan, population 5,639, is a deeply conservative town, and has long been. While coal is its past, oil and gas are likely its future. It's a town where guns are sold at yard sales and Pentecostal churches are nearly as common as restaurants. Last November, it went more than 75% for Trump. The town's mayor calls it, quote, "the most Trumpian place in America," unquote. In February, in this red stronghold, at first there were a few.
"This is what democracy looks like."
And then a few more.
"Democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like."
And then more than 70 women and even some men gathered in front of the courthouse with signs to protest our new president. At first, as they marched down Main Street, they got thumbs up and honks of support. But it wasn't long before counter-protesters arrived. Men holding signs that said, "Make America Great Again, Trump, and these people are stupid." And then this began. Fraternity brothers from a nearby college drove by, hanging out of the back of their truck, shouting hate speech, doing burnouts, and spraying the women with gravel and black smoke. They even threw firecrackers at the women who shielded their children. But their protesters stayed, and they felt the growing energy. All this is from a great PBS NewsHour piece. There were also signs a national women's movement was building. In the months since Trump's victory, an unprecedented 11,000 women were considering running for office, while 86% of phone calls to protest Trump through one liberal organizing group were made by women. In January, the National Women's March, which drew millions of women from around the world, including a handful from Buchanan. These women and those who attended the local marches, many of them strangers to one another before the election, had since begun to meet regularly to talk about how to resist Donald's agenda. The list was long. Educate themselves on the issues, lobby their representatives, write op-eds to counteract negative conservative coverage, and keep taking to the streets to protest, even when most of the town, especially the men in the town, even some of their husbands or neighbors, did not like what they had to say. On a Thursday night, a dozen women, along with a couple men, gather at a local coffee shop in town for their official huddle. These huddles, a creation of the National Women's March organizers, were designed to keep the protest momentum going at a local level. In Buchanan, the huddle is just one of several groups the women have going. Today in the coffee shop, Edwina Howard Jack, a longtime English teacher who has organized much of the area's activism, comes and wearing a button that says, "Keep your tiny hands off my constitution." As the meeting gets underway, she and the other women talk about why they're here. For healthcare, the environment, feminism, the future. Howard Jack is here for language and education. At night, she has dreams of teaching Orwell's 1984 again, giving her class a lecture on totalitarianism. They also talk about how hard it is, how their husbands got upset with them appearing on the front page, how their neighbors hate their guts, and how the member of the local Republican Party group posted on Facebook that women who participated in the Women's March had given over their dignity. But the women say these reactions only spur them on. "I don't think this election angered women. It angered woman as a collective," says Howard Jack, who hasn't forgotten Trump's boast caught on a 2005 recording about grabbing women by the pussy. "And woman is saying we are here. We are a force to be recognized." The women murmur in agreement. They started a local indivisible group and organized a city hall for their Republican senator. In the coffee shop, these women also talk about how this activism has been a long time coming. One woman whose husband marched in protest after returning from Vietnam while she was busy raising kids and working says she told him, quote, "It's my time now," unquote. An older woman speaks up, her voice trembling a little. Quote, "I was sitting here earlier thinking, I've never really had a voice before." She begins to cry, and another woman comes over and takes her hand. "I was raised to be seen and not heard, and then I got married right out of high school, and it was the same thing. And I was abused for 14 years. You all gave me a voice again." The woman touches her chest. She is still crying. Howard Jack says, "It's like we are all sleeping. Now I think we are awake," unquote. This article goes on to talk about how a woman who grew up beside a nuclear plant, whose stage 5 breast cancer has moved to her spine, she has made it her mission to fight pipelines and educate about pollutants. Her efforts of going to conservative schools have, by small amounts at least, softened the opinions of at least one environmental science teacher who does not believe in science or the environment. One of the activists now has a column in the local paper, finally providing an answer to conservative voices. They have a website going at resistandprotest.com. The women also feel optimistic because they have begun to see encouraging signs across the state. The West Virginia House has voted to legalize medical marijuana, and Paula Swearingen, who they view as a true progressive, will soon announce that she'll challenge Senator Joe Manchin, a centrist Democrat, though calling him a centrist is being generous. They've begun to notice promising changes locally, too, such as raising concerns in the community about the fate of food stamps or health care on the Trump budget. Elsewhere in town, though, the women know the attitudes are different. At the train depot, train masters say the women need to get a job. Store shops put up signs against them. The young radio host whose broadcast now reached Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina says the women's protests are misandry, ingrained hatred and prejudice against men. The frat brothers,
"I believe in the Aid of God, his traditions and his ideals, born of sturdy manhood, nurtured by resolute men, ennobled by high and sacred purpose. It has taken its place among the educational institutions of America as a promoter of knowledge, an advancer of culture, and a builder of character. It inspires true friendship, teaches truth, temperance, and tolerance, extols virtue, exacts harmony, and extends a helping hand to all who seek it."
The Pratt brothers hold a prayer thanking Donald for dropping the mother of all bombs on Afghanistan. They are bothered that the university asked students to donate to the needy on Martin Luther King Day, but not on Veterans Day. These women have guts. It is easy for me to yell behind my mic in a state that bleeds blue, but to live in a small town, fight in a resistance boldly and in the open to effect change within a seemingly immovable community, even as your children are being harassed, your husband disapproves, and your neighbors jeer. Stories like these inspires me and gives me hope, even as the stories from the other side threatens to depress me. That there are people fighting anywhere for the resistance, let alone stories like this, buoys me back into action. You can't stop us, Donald. You cannot stop progress. You may hinder, you may confuse, but you cannot stop. We are the majority, and the future is now. This battle that we are pitched in now, this battle between the right and the left, the new guard Republicans and the old, is all about a prehistoric party fighting for an archaic life in the death throes at the hands of progress. It may seem as though the other side has the upper hand. In all appearances, it seems as though they have us pinned, but it couldn't be more wrong. People power and the momentum of progress are forces unlike none other. No president, no king, no emperor holds sway over people who refuse to be moved. So long as we stay engaged, do our part, and stand together. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
If you're an employer and two candidates come up looking for a job, and this is, again, a contrived example, and you're interviewing the two candidates, and you say, as for part of this interview, I just want to ask you, what's the height of the spire on this building that you're in? And the candidate says, oh, I was an architect. I've majored in architecture for a while, and I memorized the heights of all the buildings on campus. I know. The height of that spire is 150 feet. In fact, 155 feet tall. It turns out that's the right answer. That's the right answer. And the person came up with it in second. That person goes away. The next candidate walks in. Do you know the height of the spire on this building? The candidate says, no, but I'll be right back. Person runs outside, measures the length of the shadow of that spire on the ground, measures the length of his or her own shadow, ratios the height to the shadows, comes up with a number. Runs back inside, it's about 150 feet. Who are you gonna hire? I'm hiring the person who figured it out, even though it took that person longer, even though the person's answer is not as precise. I'm hiring that person. That person knows how to use the mind in a way not previously engaged. You realize when you know how to think, it empowers you far beyond those who know only what to think.
Thank you for listening to my show. You can find my show on crabdiving.com, that's crabdiving.com, under the K-Voice tab. You can also find my show on Citizen Truth at citizentruth.org. Follow me on Twitter at Kelly the Voice. And of course, you can follow me on Facebook at K-Voice of Resistance. Since it's my birthday, like my Twitter page and my K-Voice page as a birthday present to me. All right, everybody, take care of yourselves out there. And as always, resist. For your enjoyment, Tiki Torch Nazis with Sandy and Richard Riccardi.
Tiki Torch Nazis hanging around the college square. Tiki Torch Nazis had to rob Mom just to get there. Well, at least you could have taken time to cover your sweet faces, 'cause your boss is back. Nazis hanging around with David Duke. Tiki Torch Nazis, your presence makes me want to puke. Do you really think you'll make extinct all traces of Barack? Go back from whence you came, from underneath your rock. Bigots, get moving. Why keep your feeble hopes alive? What are you proving? Just keeping Hitler's dream alive. When you bleach your hair, you must take care as though you were a chemist. Do it sloppily, and you could be a not-so-white supremacist. Now all your families see that you stay.